The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Riley, Judge Johnson, Judge Jessen, the Honorable Denise D. Riley presiding. Calling case A21-0711, Gail Virginia Decor versus Frederick Albert Decor.
And welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. I know that you both are experienced. You'll each have 15 minutes for your initial arguments, and then Mr. Kluver, you'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. Please state your name at the beginning of each argument because it's being recorded and will be posted on the court's website. If at any time you experience technical difficulties, please let us know. We'll stop the clock. We want to make sure that you can hear us and that we can hear you. Mr. Kluver, are you ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
You may.
May it please the court. My name is Douglas Kluver. I represent the appellant Frederick Decor in this matter. This case arises from the district court's granting of an order for protection in favor of the wife and against the appellant husband. This case is unique in that there is no dispute in this case that the wife was the aggressor who first perpetrated an act of domestic abuse against the husband by seizing the husband's laptop that he was using and raising it over her head, threatening him with it before smashing it on the floor next to him. I don't think the narratives that are in this case convey how terrifying that action was for the husband in that moment. His wife had never before behaved that way, and he had no idea what would happen next. From that point, the husband was in self-defense mode. This case is not about credibility of one party over the other, because even if you believe the wife's version of events, the dispositive question becomes whether the husband's actions in repelling the wife's attack were reasonable in defending. What we know, what the parties, there's no dispute here, is that the wife became angry and that the wife became violent. We know that no party disputes that. What we do have is the wife's allegation regarding what happened next. And there is no support beyond the wife's allegation. And
Mr. Kluver?
Yes.
So at paragraphs 8 through 13 of the judge's order, the judge recites, paragraph 8 through 11. The judge recites the testimony of the two parties. I mean, clearly they're telling different stories, right? I mean, how do those two versions of the event are not reconcilable, are they?
They are not reconcilable to a point. What happened after the computer was smashed? I would agree they aren't reconcilable in that instance. But the question is, I think, the difference is why this isn't just a credibility one over the other, is the husband has a right to defend himself against an attack. And the court never inquired into that or determined whether the husband's actions were reasonable in defending against his wife's attack.
Sorry, Mr. Kluver, but where is there evidence of an attack? Or what case would you say, you know, means that in this context, someone throws, and I agree, it's undisputed, she threw his work laptop to the ground. But moving from doing that to saying that she attacked him to invoke a self-defense concern, that's a stretch to me. Can you help me with that?
There is no question that a wife going over and grabbing a computer that a husband is using and angrily smashing it to the ground next to him is an act of domestic abuse, is an act intended to put him in fear.
But, you know, didn't you, your client brought an request for an OFP? There was a hearing against the wife. There was a hearing and a district judge disagreed with that and, you know, dismissed the petition for the OFP on behalf of your client, making that same allegation. Don't we have to look at that?
Well, the judge in that case didn't dismiss that because that wasn't an act of domestic abuse. He dismissed it because he said, even if that was, I don't find that he was in fear. And so that was the reason that he didn't grant that order for protection, which.
Doesn't that mean it was not domestic abuse?
No, that means that the court made an error in not granting that. There's a reason.
But you didn't appeal that.
We didn't appeal that. No. But I don't think that the court never made a finding that that wasn't an act of domestic abuse. So I don't think that this court is bound by that court's finding that the court, because the court didn't find that that wasn't an act of domestic abuse.
Well, so, even if her lifting the laptop over her head, as he described, was threatening to him, I guess once she smashed it on the ground, it seems like that threat was gone. And then after that, there was a physical altercation in a different room, as I remember, or a slightly different place. But there, the two versions are very different, and the district judge credited the wife's version and did not credit the husband's version, right?
That is correct, that the district court credited the wife's version. But what I'm saying is, if you're in a self-defense case, there are things that are permissible as self-defense that wouldn't otherwise be permissible.
So, I mean, are you saying the district court's finding is a clearly erroneous finding, that the district court's choice to make findings that were consistent with the wife's testimony and not consistent with the husband's testimony? Is that the essence of your argument?
Yes, it's clearly erroneous. It's certainly arbitrary. This, to listen to one side and the other and make an arbitrary decision on this is this person, I find this credible. There's nothing specific that's credible. There just seems to be, I think the judge's words were, I find her story more credible than another. Credibility isn't a sliding scale.
Well, Mr. Kluver, paragraph 22 says that the court finds petitioner to be credible and respondent's testimony to be less credible with respect to petitioner's allegations of domestic abuse. Do you know of any case law that says we can disregard a district court judge's findings of credibility and substitute some other, our own findings of credibility?
I'm not asking the court to substitute. I understand that decisions of credibility do belong to the district court. But what I am saying is that in these cases, it's beyond, such as this one, I'm asking the court to say that the district court erred in not analyzing whether the husband was acting in self-defense. Even if you believe what we take her testimony as credible, if that was sufficient to repel her attack, and
my reading of the judge's order is that the judge did make that finding that you're requesting in paragraph 22 when he said he found your client's testimony not to be credible with regard to her allegations. So a reading of that would be that he didn't believe whatever self-defense argument your client made at the hearing.
And I think you can certainly come to that conclusion, out of this. And I think a lot of this, there seems to be so little of little guidance at the district court level in these types of cases where they do get decided on what seems an arbitrary determination of credibility, because there's no specificity in why is this credible and this isn't.
So Mr. Cleaver, I did want to ask, that's a good segue to my next question, which if you said the district court erred by not analyzing this kind of under self-defense theory. And is there any case law that would direct the district court that they needed to do that in the situation that's in the OFP context, as opposed to the criminal context? Because I must say, when I looked, I didn't see any.
It's only in the criminal context, but it is the same type of analysis as far as when you're looking at acts of domestic abuse. So I'm analogizing State versus Glowacki, which talked about exactly what I'm talking about. But there is, the court's correct, there is not order for protection case law directly on point, at least as to that issue. The other issue I've had is I put forth is whether the wife was had a reasonable fear, or that reasonable fear of imminent harm whether it was reasonable for the wife to have a fear of imminent harm. This order for protection was brought 2 months after the event. The basis for the reasonable fear was an event that occurred 2 days after the event, where the wife takes a knife and drives a long distance. And the court says, well, that shows she had a fear of imminent physical harm. And that seems to be twisting what has to happen here. It's the defendant or the, it's the husband's conduct that has to be analyzed. What did he do to cause a reasonable fear of harm, not the wife's conduct as far as her deciding to take this knife and drive an hour and a half to go to the house where the husband was, which doesn't seem to demonstrate fear, but certainly
Mr. Cleaver, would you agree that we don't have to reach, we only reach that issue if we find that there wasn't that physical harm, bodily assault in the cabin incident? Do we even need to reach this second ground for the OFP? Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say, Your Honor. So I'm asking that the court reverse the decision of the district court in this matter, or remand for findings regarding the self-defense claim by the appellant. But nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cleaver. You'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. Attorney for respondent, are you ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
You may.
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Joe Tamburino. I represent the respondent in this case, Ms. Gail DeCourt, and we are asking this court to affirm Judge Hatcher's decision back on April 7th, 2021, wherein she found in favor of Ms. DeCourt. Your Honor, with all due respect to petitioner, I believe he is completely mistaken and has forgotten what this court does and what the standard of review is. The Court of Appeals is a reviewing court. It's a court of error. And the standard of review in this case is whether or not there was clear abuse of discretion, meaning that by the petitioner's own brief on page 8, a definite and firm conviction that a mistake has been made in reaching those findings, a mistake being that the findings are not supported by evidence. And the standard of review also includes that this court must, when reaching the findings, view the light most favorable to the trial court, that is Judge Hatcher in this case. In this case, we don't have a jury. Judge Hatcher was the judge of the law and the judge of the facts. And this court must defer to her findings They are not unreasonable findings. This is not an abuse of discretion. And a judge who is the finder of fact may make credibility decisions. That is the whole heart of the matter when you're a finder of fact. You must make a credibility decision as to whether or not someone is telling you the truth or part of the truth. And I completely disagree with the petitioner when he states that credibility is not some type of sliding scale. The opposite is true. It is a sliding scale. It's not that someone is 100% unbelievable or 100% believable. You can be believable on one fact and not believable on another. And Judge Hatcher was well within her right to make credibility decisions. And in fact, basically what the petitioner is doing, it wants to have a retrial. And the whole basis of this is that they argue, well, under the domestic abuse analysis and statute, you must do certain things. There's no case law on that. The petitioner has provided this court with absolutely no authority of what he says could happen. Additionally, this whole argument revolves around whether or not his client had some self-defense. But that argument is eviscerated by the court's own finding. And again, I'll just go to petitioner's own brief, the attachment, page 3 of 8 or A3 of Judge Hatcher's order, paragraph 11, middle of the paragraph, when she states, respondent in that case was Mr. DeCourt, testified that petitioner did not throw the laptop at him, did not throw the laptop at him. This court, Judge Hatcher, considered self-defense in terms of whether or not he was being attacked. But by Mr. DeCourt's own words at testimony, he never said that the laptop was thrown at him. So I truly do not wish to waste this court's time. Just based on a standard of review, this court must defer to Judge Hatcher's finding. The petitioner has provided zero authority to do anything otherwise. And so, Your Honors, I would just ask that the court uphold Judge Hatcher's decision. Thank you.
Judges Johnson or Justin, any questions for Mr. Tamburino? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Tamburino.
Thank you.
Court appreciates when attorneys are brief. Mr. Kluver, are you ready to proceed?
I have no rebuttal.
Thank you, then. This case has been thoroughly briefed and argued, and we will have our decision out within 90 days. We appreciate your arguments in your briefs, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.